to a British Army officer who actually commanded British troops in Helmand province from 2009 to 2010, who's joining us live from Kabul right now, retired Major General James Cowan. General Cowan, thank you very much indeed for being with us. We'll come on to your work with the Halo Trust and the work that is still to be done in a moment. But how do you reflect on this third anniversary of the Americans leaving?
Well, I was listening with interest to what Laurie has just said, and there's much about it with which I agree. And I think for many British servicemen, there is a sense of despair that the lives they gave, the wounds they received, was all for nothing. I find some redemption from running the Halo Trust. I'm actually able to travel across Afghanistan at the moment without any problems at all. The country is stable and it's safe. And we are working in many areas to reopen schools. I was at a school the day before yesterday, surrounded by happy children. The boys come for half the day, the girls come for the other half of the day. And there are things about Afghanistan today that are definitely better than they were, and we in the West need to remember that. But there are certainly things, and Laurie's right to mention this, where things have got much more difficult. The question is what we do about it. And I believe that patient, persistent diplomacy is the right thing to do. I just spent the morning seeing various Taliban ministers, and I make the point that you can't expect Western donors to fund organizations such as my own if you don't respect the need for girls to go to school and for women to work. And I think the Taliban has people who understand that. It is not a monolithic organization. It's a coalition of pragmatists and more moderate people and then some more hardline people. So we've got to come at this problem in a slightly different way, in my opinion.
On the work of the Halo Trust, and the focus is often on this landmines and trying to clear them and to return bits of land to safety. What sort of challenges are you facing? What sort of armaments were laid during the conflict?
Well, the simple bit of your question is the second part. Essentially, the war was a 50-year war. It began with the Soviet invasion. And so much of the ordnance is Soviet era. There was then a civil war between the Northern Alliance and the Mujahideen, and much of that ordnance is Western as well as Soviet. And then there is the NATO war. So here we're talking about IEDs and, of course, NATO munitions. And so what we're now dealing with is a mixture of all that stuff. We've cleared 1,300 square kilometres. And that is an extraordinary achievement, but there is, in fact, precisely that same figure, 1,300 still left to clear. There's a huge amount to do. What's good about this work is that all sides want these explosive devices gone. The Taliban want it gone, the people of Afghanistan want it gone, and Western donors want it gone. So it is a bridge. It's one of the few things that we actually have, to use Laurie's words, some leverage over. It's a bridge between the West and the Taliban. And I believe strongly that it can be a way in which we can help that persistent patient diplomacy.
But you are sticking the course and you've got your nose to the grindstone in this particular endeavour. Are you finding it increasingly difficult to get sympathetic voices to help you with donations or other means of support?
No, actually, we've managed to keep going. And so the first decision was at the time of the Kabul evacuation. And we had to decide whether we were going to stay or not. And we did not join the evacuation. We went to ground for a few days and then we started work again. So, we're still employing 2,500 people here. That's 2,500 people who've got jobs. Each Afghan probably has at least 10 dependents. So that's 25,000 people. And then there's the hundreds of thousands of people who benefit from our work. So we're absolutely committed to staying. And if we left, it wouldn't be the Taliban that suffers. It would be the ordinary people of Afghanistan.
But the day-to-day practicals for, practicalities, forgive me, for the Afghan people, for some, remain pretty acute. I mean, the quality of life ain't great, right?
Well, it's actually a mixed picture. The rural Afghanistan was extremely violent during the NATO period. And it is extremely peaceful now. There is rebuilding going on across the country, new roads, new power lines, A great deal is actually happening that is not bad. But there's also the downside, and the downside is undoubtedly around women and girls. I sat beside a river yesterday. It was a beautiful day. It was a national holiday for the anniversary of the end of the war. And there were lots of men, boys, males of the species, having a tremendous time. But where were the girls? They weren't there. So undoubtedly, there are some good things, but there's some terrible things, and we've got to do something about it. And I believe strongly that the way to deal with this is to gently nudge the Taliban towards a better future. They're the only Muslim country in the world that doesn't allow girls to go to school for secondary education. That can't be right.
James Cowan, Major General, retired nowadays. James Cowan, thank you very much indeed for your time, and safe travelling as you go about your work in Afghanistan. 10